Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. On a Wednesday, we are thick in the middle of the USC recruiting season. It's going to be the busiest June, busiest recruiting month we've ever seen covering the USC Trojans. We've been doing this for quite a while. We're going to get into that with Keely Yore. Follow on Twitter, at Keely is my name, and answer a bunch of your questions. Talk about a big transfer out of the program to a rival just across town. I think you can guess who that is and which rival that is. But if you have any questions for us, we do want to hear from you through this throughout the offseason. Podcast at uscfootball.com is the email address. And if you'd rather call us or text us, we do have a voicemail today. We do have a text today to read for you, but you can call us or text us at 424-254-9141. Leave us a text or a voicemail, and we'd be happy to read or play it on the podcast. And if you got the Apple Podcasting app on any of your devices, please follow us here at the Peristyle Podcast. Leave us a five-star rating, any kind of review, comments, feedback, suggestions. We love it all. Any questions you have, we'll bump you right up to the top of the list. So thanks for any reviews that you guys have sent out. If you haven't done one for a while, but you did one a few months ago, yeah, go ahead and do one again. We do appreciate that. And I know Keely appreciates that. She likes reading those reviews at the top. Keely.
Hello.
How you doing today?
Doing well, Ryan. Doing well.
It's good that you're in office, in the office, right?
Yeah, I'm glad to be back, even though I've been back for a week.
You've been back for a week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're about to take off, so
I'm about to take off again.
Fine.
It's been days since I've taken a vacation.
I know. So. Poor thing, right?
I don't know how we're going to get through this.
Yeah.
It's a real pain to go to Hawaii right now.
It's not. You're just spoiled.
I just spoiled. Yeah, you like jump on planes. If you don't know, I think until the end of the month, maybe, Hawaii still requires a negative test, not just a negative test from their approved vendors that all cost over $100 for the test. So it's kind of crazy. And if you're vaccinated, but you're vaccinated out of the state of Hawaii, that doesn't count. So
I don't think anyone's going to feel sorry for you, Ryan.
I'm just saying, just if you know, if you're going to travel to Hawaii in the next few weeks, I think it's going to go away, but it feels very early pandemic stuff.
But at least you feel safe, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I know you don't care about that.
I've been over the feeling safe thing for quite a while, especially once I got, even before I got the first shot, but I've had, you know.
Yeah, you were licking the sidewalk before the first
shot.
Yeah,
I was like, just bring it on. Give me six. It was, whatever. Yeah. So I'll be back, though, for a show next week, so no worries.
Oh, look at that.
There. Yeah, so I'll be back in then for that. It's got a quick little long weekend trip, but hope everyone is enjoying as things open up more. I was actually in New York City. That was weird. It was the first week that their bars and restaurants were open later past midnight.
Wow.
A lot. There was bars that said, hey, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to wear a mask inside. So it was kind of cool. Some of the stuff going on. We here in California, apparently we're going to open up in a week.
Soon.
I think we have a question on that. I don't know. There's someone.
We do.
Yeah. But that's the plan. So June 15th, things should open up. I know people are worried, we're getting questions about tailgating and how many people are going to be in the Coliseum. I haven't heard any specifics, but if you watched the Clipper-Utah game last night.
It's so crazy seeing fans.
It was full.
It's so crazy.
An indoor stadium packed to the gills.
What a sight.
Yeah. So when they come back to LA for the Clippers games, there's still cardboard cutouts in this. It's so different, you know? But it was so weird. Tyronn Lue had a mask on by himself at a press conference after the game. And you're like, there's everyone in the stadium, in the whole arena is there, hanging out. And, you're by yourself wearing that. Some of the stuff is still weird for me.
We don't know what the protocols are, Ryan.
I don't know.
We're not a basketball podcast.
Can I just go on rants?
Apparently, Ryan rants.
I talk for a while. I want to talk a little bit.
Okay, here. You do you. You do you.
Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in again. I know it was a little get off track there. I want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. My mom, Keely, came into town.
I saw.
First stop, Trader Joe's. We had to pick up some stuff.
Of course.
And she, you know, she was on the plane. She was just feeling a little run down. So I'm like, you know what? I went and bought, they have these boxes of Trader Joe's tomato soup. If you like that, if you want a little soup action going on, I like that. And then we bought some sourdough bread from Trader Joe's and some cheese, sliced cheese. And I made grilled cheese sandwiches. So we made grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. So yeah.
Comfort meal. That's nice.
We did a little comfort meal. Yeah. Thanks to Trader Joe's, and picked up some cereal, bananas, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, we did a little Trader Joe's shopping. Got a couple bottles of wine, you know, because you need those kind
of
things.
Of course.
They're rotating. I'm trying some different wines because some of the wines that I was trying before, they're not there anymore. So like they're mixing some things around. Mm. So I'll let you know when I open some of these and see which ones.
The Rhine Wine Report.
Are you a Pinot Noir girl? Do you like those or not really?
I'm not really a wine person.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah, it makes me sleepy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of boring.
Sometimes give you headaches or something. But I don't know. I've been into the Pinot Noirs lately. And Trader Joe's have a great selection. I mean, you can get $5, $6 bottles. And every one I've had that's been good. And then you can get, you know, more expensive ones too. So
I usually just have people know my taste and they hand me something. They're like, you'll like this. It tastes good. I'm like, okay.
Wow. Yeah. That's very trusting of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's my roommates, basically. Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean,
not like strangers handing me wine.
That's pretty much your life. Like, is it, you
yes.
know, am I the only person outside of your roommates you've seen in the last
no,
like, six
No, I've gone out, Ryan. I went to Hawaii, so yes,
that's
I've seen
true.
People.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You saw people at the airport, everything.
Yeah, wow.
All right. Well, like, we have this podcast thing we should probably do.
Probably. We talk about USC football.
Sometimes I try to get Keely to be annoyed by me. It's really not that hard because I can be very annoying. And
yeah.
And, she, you know, her fuse sometimes a little shorter. So.
A fuse. My goodness.
Just
no.
Kidding. Well, we got some, I don't know if we could, but let's do it. A little breaking news.
Yeah.
We talked last week about Jay Toya, the very promising freshman, defensive tackle, position of need for USC. Looked like he was definitely in the two deep, potentially start, and transfer portal.
Yeah.
Crazy. Now we know, as of 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, where he's going.
Yeah. He committed to UCLA. Pretty interesting. I mean, UCLA was a finalist in his original recruitment process. And I know a lot of people are outraged about this and being like, oh, tampering and stuff like that. It's just, like we said last week, it's a very odd, unique situation. I mean, to reiterate, from sources I talked to, Jay Toya loved being at USC. He loved what he was doing so far at the school. And so it's definitely a complicated process that involves family. And it is just an odd story, Ryan.
It's definitely an odd one. And it's, you know, where there's people that are going to be outraged. If you get a transfer in, the fans are like, yeah, transfer portal is awesome. And then you lose one, like, we got to shut down this transfer portal. So it's pretty funny. I think we have some questions about that a little bit later. But yeah, it's I would encourage fans not to look at everything from like their point of view. Like, well, he would have played. Like, there's all these. We talked about this last week. There's always other factors in play. I mean, these are people. There's families that are people that everyone has different opinions. There's personalities. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and it's definitely unfortunate because it looks like it was someone that could have certainly contributed and maybe didn't come in with the most fanfare as far as recruits go. But I, you know, we had heard it was kind of a UCLA made a late push, and there were some second thoughts there, and you know, now he's going to end up over there at UCLA. Johnny Nansen, you know, former USC assistant, you had recruited him before, so there's a, you know, at least, you know, one connection there. So we'll see.
I mean, what's interesting is he took a visit to Michigan, and apparently Michigan thought they were getting him after that visit. They thought it went really well, and then he commits to UCLA at 10 p.m. Interesting timing, but
10 p.m. like the Wednesday night news dump. I don't think that's a, you know, a thing going on, but that's he took an, I think he tweeted out or something, like the official visit. Like, we're seeing a lot more of that kind of stuff now, where, you know, but once you're in the once you're in the transfer portal, like, you're recruited just like a high school player. So it's I know there's people that don't like, you know, there's just a lot of changes happening in college athletics and college football specifically. You know, name, image, and likeness stuff was going on this week, Congress and everything. They're talking about that stuff. I haven't really caught up on what's going on there, but I mean, there's a lot of things that are changing. And if you're USC, you basically just have to understand the game. When the game changes, understand what the rules are. You know, and some people are like, oh, I got screwed because the rules changed. Like, well, you know, the rules are changing. You've seen the rules changing around you. You know, figure it out. I think, like, USC was slow on the early enrollee stuff. Do you remember? Or the early signing period stuff, right?
Yeah.
They were thinking it was just going to be some people signing. Other programs were like, this is going to be signing day. And they start signing everybody.
Yeah.
And so there were some schools that didn't adjust fast enough, but you eventually adjust, and USC's adjusted to that now. But you won't want to get further behind. You're going to utilize the transfer portal as well as you can. USC brought in a bunch of potential difference makers just in the past few months, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of guys there, but also knowing that you can lose people too. And how do you continue to recruit people on your roster? Maybe at one point, Keely, you're Clay Helton and I'm one of the assistants, and I come to you and I'm like, hey, my player, Joe Smith is kind of homesick. He's a little upset. 5 years ago, he could have been like, well, too bad. He's a freshman. He ain't going anywhere. Now you got to be like, holy crap. Let's make sure, nip this in the bud and get on top of it. So I think as a staff, you have to understand you're taking the pulse of all of your players. There's going to be the guy that's never going to leave, but there's other guys that are like, his girlfriend just broke up with him and he didn't get as much playing time as he thought.
He's homesick. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you better you got to mitigate. There's going to be circumstances out here that you have to address and situations. And if you don't, and I'm not saying USC could have with what was going on with Jay Toya.
No,
there's some
no.
things that you just can't avoid.
Yeah.
But there's things you can't avoid. And I think you have to be on top of it. And to know, to have your feelers out there if there's someone that's unhappy across the country that you could potentially could help your team too.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. The evolution we're seeing now is, like you said, Ryan, you used to be able to just get them in there, get them signed, and okay, you're done.
Yeah.
You're stuck there. But now it's about retention. You got to make sure that your guys are still happy. And of course, you're going to have transfers and whatnot. That's just kind of the process. But you have to be much more detailed about your personnel going forward. So that's just the transfer portal madness. But the interesting thing about Toya, he signed his national letter of intent. So I don't know what the timeline looks for him. He might actually have to sit out a year, which is just crazy just thinking about the trajectory he was on in spring camp and now at UCLA, and probably will have to sit out a year. Just weird turn of events.
Yeah, I forget his name, the quarterback from Washington that went to UCLA. He had signed his NLI like 11 months ago, but it was supposed to be like a year. But then Washington released him. Washington was notorious for not letting people transfer. Then the rules changed and the Pac-12 said it changed, and that ended up happening and going through. But Toya signed his more recently. I don't know if there's anything USC can do. I guess we'll find out where that
we'll
all
see.
Is going forward. But, definitely an interesting situation there. And we'll see what transpires, what he ends up doing, and, where USC sort of goes from here. Because that's definitely, Brandon Peely's out for the year.
Sopcher's coming back from his
compartment.
So – I mean, it's on him now pretty much to get healthy, and because he'll have to be a contributor for sure.
Yeah. And, losing guys like, Jay Tefele, who, ended up sitting out the year, but Marlon had a huge year, ends up getting drafted. So that's definitely something that, USC fans should be watching. We talk about the offensive line a lot, but this is, there's some concerns on the defensive line as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the other big news is, as of June 1st, so we're 9 days in to the dead period being over. So 15 Ta-da! Months or 16, whatever it was, you can't have camps, you can't have students on, officially on camp, all that stuff is gone. We're seeing, at midnight, people were starting to do stuff. We talked about this a little last week, but it is... If you just watch social media, pick a team, pick the people that cover that team, and everyone's just busy with recruiting stuff. The marketing people for the schools, they're, tweeting all this stuff out. They're, telling you how many draft picks and all this stuff. USC went over to SoFi Stadium and was doing events there, and you're seeing all these social media posts. This is like a full court press on every recruit, and if you're not bringing your A game, you're falling behind. To bring your A game is to be like you know, on par with everyone else, you know?
Well, that's the interesting thing about how much time has elapsed. You kind of had time to really prep and see, okay, who's going to have the biggest show or who's going to have the best marketing plan, because you're not just rolling into a normal recruiting period. Like, this is it. Like, they're finally, the gates are open. And so, I mean, it's just interesting to see what each school has kind of taken to the new level.
Yeah, there's definitely new levels. We knew that the investment that USC was making into, you know, the staff, the support staff around the football team was significant, but we weren't really seeing, you know, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because, you couldn't though.
Yeah, but now you're seeing. I mean, did you come away impressed with what they were doing?
I mean, I see. Here's what I want your opinion on.
Okay.
I feel like the P was kind of poo-pooing that they went to SoFi Stadium, and I think it's just a cool flex to be like, hey, look at what's in your backyard. And I think people forget that USC is not going to put their whole recruiting strategy online for fans to see. Like, you're not going to get that poached from other schools. So
Right. There's
other things happening on campus. They get the whole spiel on campus, and then they're going to SoFi and having dinner there and having a little fun experience. So I thought it was a cool thing for players, but
yeah,
I feel like the P was a little like, meh.
The P's always a little meh.
That's true.
But I would say I thought that was a cool aspect of it. I was texting with some people from USC. I'm like, hey, that's cool. Like, just that was like the first thing that I sort of noticed, when you have like the largest video board in the world, like putting all USC stuff on there. Like,
highlights,
no one's doing that, right? Like,
because
you can't, because you're not near SoFi Stadium. I feel like you have to sell yourself, just like if you were – you know, you were like speed dating or whatever, and you're going through, do they still do those things? Probably not. Like, you know, but you would like, you know, meet someone for like 5 minutes. You got to like sell yourself about, here's all the cool stuff. You know, like if you have a great job, you might be talking about that. If you're unemployed, you're probably avoiding talking about that, right? So I don't know, maybe you're proud of it, whatever. But like you're trying to accentuate the positives.
Yeah.
And you have to use, you know, if you're in rural Iowa, you're going to sell something different than if you're in Los Angeles, you know, and you've got to embrace like, hey, there's going to be kids that are from the country that come to LA and go, holy crap, this is terrible. But you can't change that. You're like, yeah, well, you're probably not a city kid. Like, you're probably not a USC guy just because, but the ones that are like, they're ones come from a small town that, you know, every waitress in Hollywood that's been like moving out here from the Midwest trying to land an acting gig, like you find that kid that's like, oh man, I'm from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and this is like the coolest thing I've ever seen. Then you're gonna like, look at this, we're gonna go to SoFi Stadium, look, we're in Hollywood, you know, here's the Hollywood,
Santa Monica,
right? Yeah, so that you can use all that to sell, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to you know, if you're 6'9" and you're trying to hide the fact that you're tall, that's a little hard. It's hard to hide the fact that you're in the city, you know, so it's, you got to find the right people. And I think a lot of people find it appealing, but I think USC did a good job of using, you know, what's there, you know, selling the tradition, selling the NFL stuff, you know, selling where you are and all. I think that was great. But you also have the sales process too, where you want to, you know, all the social media posts, the videos, whatever it is, like, you got what you want to sell, but then you also have to sell it. And, you know, I think overall with having the staff that they put together, they're doing a much better job of that this time around.
Yeah. And to make the point, like, this is the first time that you got the revamped recruiting staff, like Brian Carrington, Jeff Martin, can really go out there and do what they're good at, you know, because this was the first time that they could actually talk to recruits in person. Like, it's just crazy thinking about when they came here and when they've actually been able to do what they've been able to do. So, I mean, I feel like people kind of misread how USC is marketing themselves. I feel like they're like, oh, it's too much glitz and glamour. But like, at the end of the day, that's what attracts young kids, you know. And I know football players are going to still want to know about football and the tradition and whatnot. So it's a mix of both. And I think it hits the spot. I think people are kind of overreading into the fact that like, oh, they're touting LA too much. I feel like there's also a scenario where if they weren't, we would be complaining that they weren't, you know. So I think it's the right strategy.
Yeah, it's you know, we'll see how it comes around. I mean, it just doesn't seem like where we are right now as far as the number of commitments. You know, we're far behind where we were a year ago. I mean, that's interesting. So I think you could see, you know, a late push. We could see guys waiting for some results, you know, like, you know, the results from the Pac-12 were kind of weird last year, you know, like a 3-2 Oregon team is like Pac-12 champs, you know, you're like, okay, you know, this is,
yeah.
I mean, there's some weird stuff going on there. It's like USC selling like, hey, we're Pac-12 South champs, or we are 5-0 in the regular season, you know, like, yeah, you're probably not selling that too much, but
yeah,
didn't go to a bowl game. There's, so it's definitely a weird and interesting time as far as what they're doing. And, you know, USC does have a good class, but it's small. But there's a lot of small classes out there mm-hmm. compared to where we were
yeah.
before. But this is a huge month. We never see – I mean, the weekend we just had to cover, you know, you could put that up there with any weekend, you know, the weekend before signing day, right, or like a late January weekend. And – you're yep. probably going to have like three more of those.
Yeah, it's a blitz for sure. I mean, props to Gerard. He was working the phones all oh God, over the yeah. weekend. Chris as well. They were just killing it. Talking to the recruits that visited USC, both officially and unofficially. But USC had 8 official visitors over the weekend. 5-star offensive lineman, Devin Campbell, which I know everyone's like, where's the lineman? Where's the lineman? There you go, guys. 5-star offensive lineman.
Officially visited.
Took his first visit that he can ever take to USC. So look at that. And then they had 4-star running back Evan Sawchuk, who actually just got offered by USC yesterday. So that's something to look for there. 4-star wide receiver Shaz Preston. 4-star wide receiver Nick Anderson, who's teammates with USC commit Ty Kana. Not sure still. Yeah. He visited with him as well. And then 3-star offensive lineman Austin Kawicki. 4-star wide receiver DJ Allen. And 4-star cornerback Jaden Gold. So nice. Those were the first like official visitors of 2021.
So there wasn't like a local 3-star offensive lineman visiting or anything. These were all highly ranked
important guys for sure. And then they yeah. had some important unofficial visitors too. They had a Relique Brown, who's a Oklahoma running back commit, but he was on unofficially, I believe, yesterday on Monday or Tuesday, and he posted some pictures of him posting with like posing with the Heisman Trophy and whatnot nice. In the uniform. So I think that raised some eyebrows of like, oh, look, he's taking a visit to USC.
Yeah, and there's some of the fans on the P that are just like, oh yeah, a bunch of guys visiting that'll never commit and all that. I mean, this is what you want, right? Like this is what the staff has been waiting for. You want to bring in these top guys. You want to try to sell them in person. This isn't a Zoom. This is,
yeah.
you can hold their hand and bring them into SoFi Stadium and show them all kinds of stuff. You can walk down Hollywood Boulevard. You can do all these things that aren't going to be the same as a virtual tour of your facilities mm-hmm. on a Zoom or whatever. So I think this stuff had to happen. And, you know, I think they're going to try to set themselves up for some really huge weekends this month.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that I feel like the general sense we got from both parents and the recruits that stopped by USC this past weekend, I feel like the theme that kept coming from their interviews was like the staff seemed really connected or like united. And I don't think that's something we've necessarily heard before from recruits. Like, hey, they were all on the same page and like you can tell that there's chemistry on the staff. So I think that's something that's noteworthy because that's something that as a recruit you would probably want to buy into, not versus like, hey, this is just Gavin Morris trying to sell USC, you know? So I think that is notable. That, you know, revamping the recruiting staff actually is working out for the school.
You want to look like an organization that's, you know, organized, that's buttoned up and every I is dotted, every T is crossed. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about the Jay Toya situation and trying to keep your current players happy, a lot of it's going to fall back on is how organized are you? How, you know, what kind of relationship do the staff members have with each other that if one of Dante Williams' players isn't happy and Craig Nivar notices, like, they're on top of it. Or, you know, even Graham Harrell notices and he's like, hey, I saw one of your defensive backs. He was working with Brew McCoy and he was talking about why, you know, things weren't going well or whatever. So, you know, if it's a well-run organization and we feel like they've made a lot of hires to make it a much, you know, it was, I mean, no joke. It was poorly run from the athletic director on down for years, right? Mm-hmm. And they've made a lot of good hires. So now the hope is it's much more organized. It's better. It's just better run. It's a well-oiled machine is what you want it to be. And you will be able to notice things like that. And you will be able to notice what, you know, recruits can notice that when they come in. If it's like, you know, someone picks them up and they're like sitting outside the Galen Center by themselves for a while because no one's there. And they're like, oh, crap, you were supposed to go see this. Like that, you know, that could be a simple mistake. That could be nothing. But it doesn't give you the impression that this is a well-run organization. Like people know where you have to be, what you're supposed to be doing. Here's the program. And it not doesn't necessarily have to be like, here's every minute of your day as planned. But you just get the feel, you know, you can walk around a place like that and go, all right, these guys know what they're doing. You know? And that's the impression it seemed like a lot of the recruits had.
Yeah, it seems like it was a well-run ship for the first week. And, you know, that's something that Dante Williams talked about when he first got to USC in that, like, March press conference we had before everything shut down. He was saying, like, you can't just rely on the brand. Like, he was, like, pointing to his shirt. And that's kind of what you're saying, Ryan. That's what the previous staff and athletic department did. It was kind of like, hey, we're USC. Of course you'd want to come to USC, you know, and like that was kind of their pitch, you know, but now they realize that not only has recruiting in college football evolved, but you need to bring your A game to really get the talent that you need at this level. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So good show for USC. There's still stuff going on during the week, but the weekends are going to be big. Any other takeaways from the weekend?
Stay on the board. I mean, Gerard so and much. Chris, there's so much information. They were just churning out interviews with parents and players about how the visits went. And I believe USC just offered a new 5-star tackle, I believe. So more things coming out of the recruiting world. So, I mean, they've been on it. So props to them, and make sure you stay on the site because so much information has come out in the last week.
Yeah, we were going to try to do a tunnel vision on Sunday, but then like,
we had to let the Masters work.
Yeah, like they were just going to be too busy. We had Shotgun out of town, so we'll definitely try to get that going again. We did, you know, we had our Lindsey Gottlieb interview up.
Right,
I'm going to try to do some more of those one-on-one ones too. Or I guess that was two-on-one. But
people seem to like your lunch with a Trojan back in the day.
Yeah, so we try to do some of those too. You know, when I'm in town. Yeah.
Between your multiple vacations.
Nice. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and answer questions. Back in a minute.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle podcast. Do you want to start with the voicemail or what would you like to do? Why don't we do that? Make sure it's okay, we got a voicemail. Normally, this is our buddy Evan, but he normally calls in to the podcast of champions, our Pac-12 podcast.
Oh.
Little plug, but he's calling into the Peristyle podcast, so let me play it for you.
Hey guys, this is Evan from Tempe. Called Ryan's other podcast a bunch of times lately. I haven't called this one forever, and I was just wanting to know. I was listening to one of the CBS college football podcasts, one of the national ones, and they were talking about who would be the coach of USC when Clay Helton gets fired, because obviously he should be fired. And they said James Franklin, which I just don't understand at all. I used to think that James Franklin should be the coach, should be one of the candidates to be the coach, but I realized that would be terrible. And, you know, he went 4-5 last season. As bad as Clay Helton was last season, at least he won the regular season games. Franklin couldn't even do that. So I don't really know what this James Franklin thing is, but I just wanted to ask what you guys thought. Helton's at least finished in the top three before. Franklin's never done that. I'm not saying Helton is better, but I just don't understand why you fire a coach and then hire the one that lost to Clay Helton. Because obviously he lost Clay Helton in a pretty big game. So, you know, maybe if you guys think that James Franklin would be a great coach for USC, you know, let me know. But just want to know what the why people would think that James Franklin would be a good coach for USC when they fire Helton. So, thank you guys. Peace.
Thanks, Evan. It's funny how, like, there's an inevitable thing. It's just like, oh, yeah, well, when he's fired, this is what's going to go. We get so many questions.
I know.
Hypotheticals on who would be, blah, blah, blah. But James Franklin's name come up before. I wouldn't put too much stock into he went 4-5 in the pandemic year. Like, yeah. I don't give the time. I mean, Alabama was amazing. And that could have been a non-pandemic year, and they would have just steamrolled everybody.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, like, necessarily – I'm not going to give Oregon a ton of credit for winning the Pac-12 and that, like, they, you know, they weren't even the best team in the North. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame James Franklin for going 4-5. I think they end up beat Harbaugh, right? I think they were like, I think Penn State and Michigan were both like, hadn't won a game or something stupid like that. There were some weird stuff going on, but I mean, he's won at Vanderbilt where, you know, he won like 9 games at Vanderbilt, you know, and he's, you know, done some good things at Penn State, and you would just, it would be projecting that he would do better things at USC, where at Penn State, you know, what's tradition wise, are you the third best team in the Big Ten? Like, there's, you know, it's different. Like, you're going against a juggernaut in Ohio State. There's, you know, there's a lot going on in the Big Ten where you're not the top dog, and in the Pac-12, you are going to be at the top dog. So there would be arguments there. So I get why. I mean, I don't think if there was an opening, I don't think he would be my first choice. But people, yeah, I trust in college football are definitely fans of James Franklin and think he could do well. You know, we've seen people do like okay jobs at one place and then crush it in another. And we've seen people crush it at one place and then do kind of crappy at the next one. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, it's – you'd. That's why you have smart people that get paid a lot of money to figure this stuff out. It would be up to Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna and their team to project what James Franklin would do at USC. They might say, he did this here, but we think he would do this plus 50% at USC. But if they say, well, he did this at Penn State, but he would do that minus 25% at USC, they wouldn't want to hire him. So it's a lot about projecting, you know, moving from one environment to other, would he excel in this environment? Because there's going to be a lot of different factors. You're not in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. You're going to be in Los Angeles. You're not the third best team in your conference. You're the best team. You know, like, there's, yep, you got the most tradition. You're a different recruiting, you know, areas and all that stuff. So that's why you would pay have a good athletic director to figure this stuff out. Sometimes you look at a guy like, he was only good there. He was decent. But at the next place, we think he's going to be awesome, you know, and that's what those guys get paid to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned this before, but there was a whole strategy at Cincinnati as to why they picked Fickell and who the other candidates were. And I assume that would be the same process this time around, if that does happen, because that's not,
right.
It's not a guarantee. He's still head coach right now. But so I think it's definitely going to be different than what USC fans are accustomed to as far as the search, right, process that's happened before with prior athletic directors. So, I mean, we see it a lot that people are like, Luke Fickell, why isn't, like, pick Luke Fickell? It's like, well, the people who decided to bring in Luke Fickell are at USC right now. So I think you can have a little bit of confidence in their decision process.
Yeah. And just, you know, hiring someone like Lindsey Gottlieb, you're like, okay, you know, yeah, like, we trust their process. Like, I think this is going to be good, you know. And it's funny because it becomes this thing on the Peristyle and the message boards, and people are like, this, that, whatever. We like this guy, we like that guy. And then some people disagree. So, you know, if you're like, hey, I'm a huge Matt Campbell fan, Matt Campbell's going to be great. He goes out and loses to Louisiana last year. And then everyone's like, see, Matt Campbell's terrible. He would never do blah, blah. And then he goes on and he made the Big 12 championship game. Like, they won all, like, then he looks amazing again. The NFL wants him. Like, you're like, yeah, they lost to a Louisiana team that's actually good, you know, like,
yeah,
in a pandemic year. So, like,
yeah.
But the people that didn't want Matt Campbell are going to be like, I'm all over it. Matt Campbell's terrible, see? But then you're like, okay, no, he's actually really good, you know?
Yeah. We actually have a question kind of that's related to this, so I'm going to jump in.
It's
from our buddy Dan, class of 1962, who says, "Hi, Keely and Ryan. Glad to have Keely back on the podcast after her well-deserved vacation." Thank you, Dan.
Wait, that's the only reason you read that.
That's it. That's the podcast. I'm just kidding. He says, "USC, with 132 national championships, has through the years been great in many sports. When you analyze the championships, the common thread is great coaches. And I'm so glad that Mike Bone is aware of the value of coaching with the Lindsey Gottlieb hire. Football, baseball, swimming and diving, track and field, and men's tennis have exemplified the championship culture, and we can thank a handful of coaches for their championships. McKay, Jones, Robinson, and Carroll in football, Dado in baseball, Peter Daland in swimming, Dean Cromwell in track and field, and Dick Leach in men's tennis. If past ADs have retained Mike Gillespie in baseball and hired Tara McKeever for swimming, those sports would have continued to prosper. I'm now confident that Mike Bone will be the AD who does understand the need for good coaching and the ability to hire them. Can you say Luke Fickell? Fight on and win with great coaching, Dan, class of 1962. So this is what I was talking about. A lot of people are like, Luke Fickell, hey.
I mean, if you're going to talk about replacing Clay Helton, if it comes to that, I mean, his name's going to be right up there since Mike Bone already hired him once, you know. But he might think Luke Fickell's perfect for Cincinnati, but not perfect for USC, you know. And for different reasons. Luke Fickell, I don't think he's ever coached out of the state of Ohio. Like, so there's it, but it might not just be that. It might be other reasons. Well, who knows? But I think the main point is, Dan, when all those years when I was complaining about, hey, hire people that are good at their jobs, like, what are you doing? Like, hire great coaches. You know, if you're USC and you've won championships in this sport, you don't need to get a retread or some terrible coach. Go get a really good one. And because that'll give you a better chance. You hire people that are good at their jobs. And USC was reluctant to do that for whatever reason, because they wanted to hire people that for different reasons. It wasn't because they were good at their jobs. It was because they maybe knew USC. Maybe they wouldn't rock the boat, whatever it was. There's all kinds of reasons to hire someone, and fans assume you're going to hire the guy that's going to win. And that's not necessarily what the priority was for USC. It was more about, did they fit in? Are they going to like upset me? Are they going to like make me like do more work? Like, that's the kind of stuff people are getting hired for or not hired. And Dan, you're 100% right. Bring in great coaches, people that are really good at their jobs. And if you're USC, you have the luxury of hiring people that have proven that they are good at their jobs. I know this is a weird trend in the NBA right now, like hiring people that not only have never coached in the NBA, but like never coached anywhere. Steve Nash, you know, like he's the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, and they're like look amazing right now, you know. Maybe in basketball that works. That's really about talent. Like, it's not recruiting. And it's not like they got three superstars, right? And they got like Blake Griffin, who's, was a superstar.
Once again, you're making this a basketball podcast.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm joking.
But you can't do that like in college football. Like, recruiting is such a huge part of it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Coach K, Duke, he just retires. Like, college basketball is mostly about recruiting, right? Like, you get Zion Williamson and like two other like first round draft picks in the same recruiting class, like you're gonna be pretty freaking good.
You do pretty well,
right? Like, even I could coach that team. Keely could coach that team. Like, we were, it's like, so there's different factors where, like, if Steve Nash had to like assemble the team and like, that'd be a whole different story. But he's never coached before, and you gave him, one of the greatest rosters. You'd be like, okay, he'll probably be pretty good, I mean, James Harden didn't play, and they won by 35,
Yes.
I'm sorry that we're going on those.
No, you're fine.
But the point is, like, in college sports, coaching is a huge factor of it. I mean, it's accumulating talent. It's, putting these players in the position to succeed. Getting the talent in football is not enough. You have to have good schemes. You have to, you can't just out-talent everybody. You can, you can out-talent some teams. In basketball, you can out-talent guys a lot. But it is important to get great coaches, Dan. And that's, what I've been saying for years. And people are like, oh, whatever, this is why. Hire good people. Stop being, stop hiring bad people. Hire good people. Oh, yes. It works. Yes, of course it works. Hire good people.
Thank you, Ryan, for that very simple but obvious statement. No, that makes sense. I mean, especially if you think about it, the roster size for college football is so big compared to other sports, you know, and you have to, like we were just talking about, the retention. You have to make sure that all your team's happy, chemistry, et cetera. But just to circle back, the same reason why Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna ended up like with a strategy and ended up with Luke Fickle is the same reason why you can't automatically say, hey, there's an opening, Luke Fickle's coming to USC.
Right, yeah.
Like that would be the old USC way of doing it because they're old buddies and they know each other, but there's going to be a process because it's a different landscape. It's a different variable of USC and West Coast, et cetera, et cetera. So I think I just want to caution people that if there is an opening, I don't think you can just be like, oh, Luke Fickle, he's coming down, you know? So there's going to be a strategy and stuff like that if that is the case.
Right. And if there's an opening, it could very well be Luke Fickle. I mean, he's one of the hottest coaching names out there. But like you said, he still have to go through this process. And you're like, he's perfect for Cincinnati. If we were at Texas, like we think he'd be good there, or if he's at Florida State, we think he'd be good there, but for USC we don't think so because of this or that or whatever, like that's but you have to trust their process and their strategy, and it's worked, you know, it's worked well for them so far, and you know, if you're a USC fan, you're hoping it keeps working for USC.
We got an email from our buddy Brett C. from Knoxville, Tennessee. He says, hey, Peristyle podcast team. I just recently heard about California not lifting their state emergency order with COVID-19. Will this affect USC for the fall for football to have fans in the stadium? Thanks and fight on. As always, Brett C.
Brett, so I haven't heard, I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about. We are, as a state, we are supposed to open up no restrictions, no tiers as of June 15th. I think counties can do different things. My guess is they'll probably still say, well, you know, you still got to wear a mask inside for a while. Like I'm guessing they'll probably do some of that stuff. Because especially a lot of politicians make these decisions, like it's hard for them to back off of them. Like, you know, even if like what science changes, are we going to see like what we saw at Utah last night? Probably not. But I think we're going to see more people at Clippers games if that, you know, they last that long, you know, Kings games, whatever, Dodgers games and Angels games and all
Angels
that stuff.
Games, yes.
I think we'll see all that kind of stuff going forward. And I think we're going to see tailgating at USC. I think we're going to see, you know, it's outside. I think the Coliseum is going to be, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a lot of restrictions. That's my guess, but I don't know. What do you think?
Tailgating is an interesting one. And this is me speaking without any knowledge on tailgating specifically, just because that means that's outside people coming onto campus. And I know if USC is going to try and have in-person classes in fall, that might be risky for them. You know, they don't want to jeopardize the health of the students in that sense. So we'll see on that. I don't know. But I mean, things have evolved so quickly. The fact that things have gotten better. And I think Arizona State said that they're going to be full capacity. And obviously that's Arizona, so it's a different case. But
I think it was University of Arizona. Maybe it was.
Oh, really? Okay, my bad.
It could have been both too, but I think I saw University of Arizona say that.
Okay, my bad. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, a couple months ago, I was told it would be around 30%, but that was back when things weren't as good as they are now. I mean, I think California has one of the lowest infection rates right now. So it could get better by the time we get to September. So we'll see. It's a positive track. I'll say that.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely going to be better. Just like the communities I live in, you know, I think the vaccination rate's like over 70, you know, something percent. Like I think there's different communities that aren't in California, but in general, I think we're pretty well vaccinated. My mom's visiting from Massachusetts, like all of New England's mostly open. Like you can go in restaurants without a mask. You know, they have high vaccination rates too. I think that it's going to be tough to do some of these restrictions like 2 weeks from now, a month from now, let alone September, you know? So maybe they say it's like a 75% thing. The stuff on campus, that does complicate it. Like if you're going to be in a tailgate parking lot, okay. But if they're like, oh, we don't want people coming on campus if they're not vaccinated. Because I think USC said in-person classes, but you have to be vaccinated.
I believe so, yes.
I thought that was you know, a few weeks ago or something. So, but yeah, I'm not exactly sure as far as what, but the state is supposed to be out of the whole restriction thing as of June 15th. So that's like a week from now.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm curious what that looks like going forward.
There'll be counties that are really like, you know, there's certain counties that have been open for quite a while. Yeah. There's other ones, you know, you're an Orange County girl. Like,
I am.
You go to restaurants there quite a bit. I'm not saying you were, but no, you could have.
Yeah. We have two more emails, so I'm going to get to those.
Sure.
First is from our buddy Stephen Poway, who says, "Dear Ryan and Keeley, as I listened to the podcast this week," welcome back, Keeley. Thank you. "I heard that Ryan said there are 1,500 guys in the transfer portal."
Numbers are hard.
They're hard. And when you're reading an email, if that's the case, or even if there are one-tenth of that number, do you think USC will find a starting left tackle in the bunch? Also, isn't it going to make life very difficult for coaches if players can transfer to their rival schools at any time, bringing with them not only their playbooks, but also the inside scoop on secret play calling signals and tendencies? P.S. Is anyone else struggling to make sense of David, quote-unquote, Toye's official excuse on Twitter for leaving SC? If he committed to SC in 2018, how could the pandemic have anything to do with his inability to shop around for the right school? I know. Go to the war room, smiley face. Fight on and win, Stephen Poway." Steve, we actually talked about this on the Family Feud podcast as well, how that excuse kind of was like, really? Like, since he committed as a sophomore, so.
Yeah, that doesn't, you know. There was, I think you committed as a sophomore, but it's a commitment. It's not. I mean, it's
things change. Yeah.
It's a current, like, whatever. It's like a, you know, it's like a promise ring or something. Like, you're not really engaged, you know?
Sure.
So you didn't get to go through the recruiting process would have been when the pandemic was going on.
Yes.
Like, that's when
official visits.
I've been committed to USC for 2 years, but I want to go, I'm going to take a visit to Texas.
And yeah. I went to Michigan and they really sold me and I changed my mind, you know?
Yeah. Something and he didn't like get that. To do any of that stuff. He didn't get the last minute pitches, you know?
Yeah.
This was, you know, The Bachelorette, and they bring the guy back, like, you know, from the early season one. Like, I was always in the back of my mind. I should have gave him a rose, and he gets another chance to get back in. I don't watch the show. Is that something they do?
I think so. Did you just assume that I watch the show? I believe
yeah.
so. No, I actually haven't watched it in a really long time.
I heard the ratings were, because Chris Harrison?
I believe so.
Yeah, he's not on the show anymore.
Man, we are not on topic today.
Ratings were down. That's okay. Like, people like, you know, just hearing us talk about stuff.
Yeah, but I just want to deliver the USC football content.
Oh, we're delivering.
I know. But as far as what Stephen Poway asked about the left tackle portal situation, I've actually asked recruiting guys about this because I'm curious. Like, hey, if you have a wide variety of people to choose from, shouldn't this be easy to fill, like, the holes that you need? And so the explanation I got that was kind of funny to me. It was like, especially linemen, they go so fast. And if they're still in the portal at this point,
there's a reason.
You're kind of going like, okay, why are you still in the portal? Like, how it was described to me is like, you go to TJ Maxx and you find like a Ralph Lauren shirt, but then like the logo is a little tilted and you're like, wait, is this really like authentic? So something like that, where it's a little like sketchy as to why they are still in the portal and why they're still, you know, haven't found a home, because linemen, especially good linemen, are schools will pick them up like hotcakes, you know? So the fact that they're there is a little concerning, I think, for people who are scouting.
And like we talked about this before, it's getting to the point now that you're usually not entering the transfer portal unless you have a good idea of schools that are interested in you.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? The people aren't going to be going to the portal if they think that they're not going to find a home. So it's not just like there's this list of free agents that, you know, all of them are great. Like this, yeah. Like it's like you've picked through the bargain rack at TJ Maxx. And like,
yeah.
You know, oh, there's a triple XL, you know, green sweater from 5 years ago. Like, yeah, it's probably, you know, it's a good deal, but like,
is it really worth it? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really use that. And like, oh, there's this. Oh, there's a large that's gonna fit me and stuff. And it's like,
there's a hole in it.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, there's a reason why every single player is in the transfer portal, and not all of them are. My coach is a jerk, and all, you know, like there's reasons why these are breakups basically. These are committed relationships that have broken up. And if any of your friends had broken up recently or whatever, you would talk to him or her and then talk to the significant other, you're probably going to get a very different story. Like there's reasons for these breakups.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's like you're going into a new, you know, engagement ring store. Like, oh, look at all these like beautiful rings and all that stuff. Like you're going to the ones that are like, yeah, this was previously owned. And I was,
oh, gosh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the good example of this is when Wanya Morris, who was a five-star Tennessee tackle, entered the transfer portal, he had like a top five immediately and then committed to Oklahoma within like 4 days. Yeah. So that's how quickly things go. And for everyone who's going to complain about USC, they didn't have an offensive line coach at that time. So it was kind of hard to attract a top tackle at that point. But that's how fast it goes if you are a legitimate prospect that people want. You know, it's quick. It's not like when you're a teenager and you like go slow and take the recruiting process day by day. It's like you're gone once you know, like once you're in the portal.
Yeah. And there's certain guys that you're going to know when they're on the market, it's going to be a hot commodity. If it's this five-star offensive lineman and it's because like he got busted for drugs and, pushed his girlfriend or something, like, you know, just terrible things. But they're like, okay, he's not going to have like a million suitors. He'll have some people that are, but if it's like the five-star offensive lineman who had tons of promise, maybe played a year and looked amazing, and his offensive line coach was an idiot, and the team was out of, you know, like, we know the reason why this guy's leaving, because he was sold a different bill of goods than what he got, and he is a stud, and you want to bring him in. Sometimes it's not that clear cut where it's like one side or the other is wrong. You have to figure out like, why did that guy leave? Like, well, they thought, Keontae Ingram comes in to USC. They had some other guys emerge there. He might have had a few fumbles, but it also was like, he wasn't really running the offense that he thought it was going to be. And like he ran more of what like USC's running in high school. And so if you're USC, you're like, yeah, I think we're going to run what he really wanted to come in and run. And so it's going to be a better situation for him there. So there it's more of like a even, you know, like there's some good, some bad. And if you're USC, you're like, well, but the bad's not going to be for our bad because we run this offense that he likes. And so, I mean, you got to have to figure out some of that stuff. Some of it's just like you said, this guy's a stud. His team was terrible. Get him, you know, like there's no reason not to sign this guy.
Yeah, and specifically with Keontae Ingram, it was an added benefit that the coaches knew him personally, you know, Nivar and Orlando, so you can at least vouch for him personally. So that was an added bonus. But yeah, it's sometimes a risk. So it's the portal is not this like A+ recruiting market, if you will.
And if you get, you know, you got two guys from the University of Texas in the transfer portal over the last few months. You have people that can vouch for them on your staff. You're not like making calls and asking. You're like, no, dude, I recruited him. Like he was best friends with my son, but whatever it is, like, you know, like, and so having that kind of ability to vet is one of those things you take advantage of. Like if you just hired someone from the University of Toledo, you know, on your staff and they have this stud player that goes into the portal, like you're going to have an in already, you know, and you're going to know like, oh, he's not as good as you said or whatever. So all those factors have to come into the portal's really complicated. It's like it's whole new, you know, whole different recruiting cycle and you got to do your homework. It's not just like, oh, look through, I need a left tackle. Let's see what's available. If USC did have an offensive line coach in place, which again goes back to poor decision making from years ago. Like why were you in that position?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they would have got a left tackle, but there was some great opportunities to get one if you had someone in place. And then we sort of, the window was sort of lost. Now it's back. Now, you know, it's still potential to do it now, but
you would have been in a much easier place to succeed or a position to succeed.
Yeah.
If, you know, those errors. And I mean, even recruiting wise, if you had made some
You
know.
So. Did you keep Neil Callaway too long? Did you have Tim Drevno as your running back coach? Did you bring him in and keep him when you're running a different offense? Like all those decisions that we questioned all along the way, you're sort of like, well, you know, that's probably why you're where you are right now. Like if you reverse one or two of those decisions, you're probably in a much better position now. You're not talking about why does USC need a left tackle every day during the offseason?
Yeah, pretty much. Alrighty, one last question is from our buddy John, who says, hello, Parastyle Podcast. The NCAA, aka college presidents and ADs, have completely screwed up the player transfer process with the portal and immediate eligibility. The Jay Toya situation is clearly due to under-the-table tampering. First of all, John, we don't know this. This is allegedly by John.
Alleged.
by some yet-to-be-identified coaching staff, probably working through his high school coach or former teammates to his parents. I'm okay with undergrad players having the right to transfer, and a big supporter of the grad transfer rule for players that have earned their undergrad degree. The old system of undergrads having to sit out a year was working fine until the NCAA staff started granting waivers to this rule with no sense of reasoning, logic, or consistency. How would you fix the growing mess that the NCAA has made of the player transfer process, and do you think anything soon will be done by the NCAA? Fight on, John.
Hey, John. I wouldn't say the system was working fine. I mean, I feel like there's been a complete shift in the way we look at student athletes. And if me or Keely were sophomores at USC and I'm going to engineering school and Keely's in the, you know, journalism program, you know, broadcast journalism, and she wants to transfer to Missouri and I want to go to Carnegie Mellon, I just go, you know, and we can do it. And you can't do that as a student athlete and continue to do what you do as far as play sports. And, you know, if I come up with some cool experiment in one of my labs and I put it on YouTube and I sell ads, I can make money off of it. And if, you know, Keely has a cool reel that goes viral or something, you know, some interview she does and she makes money, her Instagram blows up and she makes money, you know, wearing certain perfumes or whatever, and they pay her for it. Like, we can do that kind of stuff. If you're a student athlete, you can't do that. You know, you're the long snapper that can snap through a moving car window and it landed a trash can across the street and it goes on YouTube and it's a huge hit. You're not allowed to make money off of that.
Yeah.
And if you want to go play at another school, they're not going to let you right away. So I feel like, John, there's a big shift to, you can't keep, you know, the whole point was you're trying to keep them amateurs, but you're limiting like basic human rights while you're doing it. And the whole amateurism thing, like, I'm not a, you know, pay players guy, you know, schools pay players, but name, image, and likeness, guys want to transfer. I think the one-time transfer rule is good. Like, hey, you know, you got one, like, this place sucks. My coach left, leave, you know, go somewhere else and go do it. I think, John, you might just be a little upset because, you know, the Jay Toya thing hit closer to home, but there's eight guys or whatever that came in too, you know, that are coming from other programs. If Jay Toya didn't want to be at USC anymore, do you want him there? You know, like, if you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and you can force them to stay with you and they don't want to, like, is that cool? Like, is that going to be a great relationship? Like, probably not. He wanted to go. If it was whatever reason is crappy for the, whatever it was, there was reasons that he didn't want to be at USC anymore. And, you know, yeah, young kids can make, you know, I'm 50. I make terrible decisions sometimes. You know, you're 18 and you make terrible decisions, but you kind of have to learn from them. So this is, I think you got to give players, student athletes, the opportunity to make a poor decision if they want to. And maybe it is, you know, he could transfer there and go, man, I really screwed up. But we've all done that stuff, right? You know, like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have, you know, drank that much before my final, you know, whatever. Like, you make bad decisions and you just kind of like to bounce back from them.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, John, we are seeing a trend where there's more player empowerment happening, you know, with
100%.
With name, image, and likeness, the transfer
rules. Did
you call
it like nibbage likeness?
It was a whole combination of it. But it's trending that way. And it's funny because he said, do you think the NCAA will do anything soon about it? And like, anything we've seen from the NCAA is just nonsensical when they do decide to do something. So if anything, it might limit players because that seems to be the NCAA's trend. But I mean, this is kind of where it's going. I don't know how you can, it's because, and he included an article in his question, and the article was talking about how the transfer portal is kind of mirroring free agency in that whole process in professional sports. And that's something we've heard Clay Helton say as well. It's kind of like a free agent market in the portal. And I don't see how you pull that back once you go there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see how you make it unfree agent-y, if you will, once you get that going, because I think it benefits the players and the coaches to a certain extent, and I don't think people are going to want to pull that back. So I don't know. I mean, like, once you give people more freedom and more power, I don't see how you reverse that necessarily.
You can't put that genie back in the bottle.
Exactly.
And the grad transfer rule was a loophole, basically. They're like, well, I graduated, I still have eligibility, and I want to do my master's, but this program, this school doesn't have the master's I want. Like, that's the reason behind that. Like, you could go to another school that had the like, so people were transferring to the school they wanted and then would say, oh, which master's program do they have that, you know, that's just kind of dumb. I get the concern and stuff, John, but you got to allow these players to do what they want. And there's going to be some nefarious things that are going on. There's going to be tampering. There's going to be, you know, just things offered to try to get people to switch schools. And there's going to be some schools, coaches that kind of get screwed. There's going to be some players that get screwed because they listened to, they got some bad advice and they, you know, did what some handler said they should do and they ends up being the wrong choice for them. I mean, just like anything, there's going to be some more freedom, but you have, you know, there could be some higher consequences, you know, where you go someplace and you shouldn't have gone and you end up dropping out of school and you never, you know, if you wouldn't have left, then maybe it would have been a better situation. But there's going to be a lot of players that have to leave a terrible situation and this gives them the best opportunity. So, yeah, you can't look at it there's going to be some negatives. There's going to be players hurt from this, but there's going to be a lot more players that are helped that are going to be able to put themselves in a better situation because of an earlier poor decision or they were led astray, whatever it is. I mean, you can't take away the right for a young person to choose to go to a different school if they want to.
Yeah.
Like anyone else can do. And I think this is just a part of it. Yes, there'll be some abuse, there'll be some whatever, but I think the basic right of being able to transfer schools and still do the thing you love to do is something that they needed to do. They're doing it. And like Keely said, you're not going to be able to take that away.
Yeah, completely agree, Ryan. Well done.
Hey, good stuff. Yeah, okay. I went on a few tangents. It's just more because I haven't, you know.
You're ready to talk.
I don't get
ready
to see you as much. It's good to see you in person.
Thank you. We'll chat. Podcast.
I know you feel a little better after I've had negative COVID tests and
it's
stuff.
It's always so nice to know that your boss isn't infecting you. Yes.
Yeah. even if I'm licking sidewalk, I still got negative. You know.
Yeah. Well done. Strong immune system.
I don't know about that. Like I would used to get sick. Yeah, a couple of times a year or whatever. Like I would get like a cold, but I think the allergy thing like is always going. You know.
Mm,
I don't know.
Sucks.
But
maybe you have a gluten allergy.
I could because it could be a food thing because I just eat like crap all the time.
It could be.
I mean,
that.
I eat some good stuff, but I eat like a lot of sweets.
I mean, eat Trader Joe's, which is great.
I do love the Trader Joe's. But the sourdough bread have gluten?
Yes, Ryan.
Okay. I don't know.
Did you feel sluggish after your grilled cheese?
No, I feel good, man. It was dipping the grilled cheese in the tomato soup. Is
so good.
Very underrated, you know?
Is it underrated? I think it's a classic.
Do you think that people, yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
It was good. It was fun to like make stuff for my mom, you know, like made her tea, make her stuff, you know, like because she's taking me, care of me forever.
Return the favor.
Yeah, return that. So we're going to go, you know, spend a few days on a beach in Hawaii. It's good to, you know, get her off of the East Coast. Although it's like 90 degrees in Boston. It's like 70 here. Like it's like you look at the map, like we're like the coldest in the country right now.
Oh, what? No, but here's the thing. As what usually happens, there's going to be a camp next week at USC. Guess what the hottest day of the week is going to be? When the camp is. So, roasting alive, it's fine.
A little roasting going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. I think we covered it for now.
Any final thoughts is what you like this?
Okay. Everyone makes fun of me for that, but everyone has a final thought. So I think I'm just facilitating
it. The best part of final thoughts is like,
everyone says no and then
yes. 100%. No, but and then blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Dan was classic at that.
It was
but
our
Shotgun
little,
does the same
little bit.
Thing
yeah. Well, Shotgun can never shut up.
No, he just talks.
Yep.
And talks and talks.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is Keely Yore. Follow on Twitter at Keely is my name. I'm Ryan Abraham. Really appreciate you listening to the Peristyle Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.